Good morning. It's so good to see everyone here this morning. Welcome to Little Swatara. We're so glad you've joined us for worship this morning. We just want to remind you, tomorrow night is at 7:30, our all-church council meeting. So if you haven't carved some time out to participate in our council meeting, be sure to come tomorrow night at 7:30 to the fellowship hall to join in our church business. In the bulletin, you'll notice about Curtis Warner. He is in Dauphin County Prison, and we would love to shower him with cards of encouragement. Burrow is asking that you place your name and your address on the envelope so that they accept that card or that letter for Curtis. And also, you can't put any enclosures, stickers, or anything like that. Just a card or a letter in the envelope would be greatly appreciated to encourage and to support Burrow and Ralph, as well as their son Curtis, during this time. Are there... Very, very true. Yes, the name has to be handwritten as well. You can't use a sticker for your label as a return address, so make sure you handwrite on there. And ahead of time, I know Burrow appreciates any support you could send Curtis at this time in his life. Any other announcements this morning? But now the majority of us have our heat turned on in our homes. Anyone still not turn their heat on? Matt Blatt back there, not quite sure his kicked on yet, but he's got a heat pump, right? So he's good. Except this morning. I think it was 61, he said. All right, let's turn to our responsive reading as we prepare for our worship that our Lord is so deserving of this morning. Number 663. The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life.
Whom shall I fear?
One thing I ask of you, O Lord, and that I will pursue, to live in your house all the days of my life, to behold your beauty and to seek you in your temple. Father, we thank you for this time to gather and to worship you. We pray that we would allow our hearts and minds to be open, to be able to worship in whatever style you would call us to. Just thank you for Little Swatara. Thank you for this community, and pray your blessings upon each one. Amen.
I'd like you to invite you to stand for our singing. We're going to start out with a familiar song, This Is the Day. The words are up on the board for you. There's two verses. The second verse is a little bit different, but I'm going to ask that we sing it like we did when we were children, with the responsiveness to it. So I'm going to ask this side to be the leaders of This Is the Day, and you'll be the echo on this side. Okay, here we go. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. We are the sons, we are hymnals to 611, soon and very soon, 611.
Oh,
Great singing this morning. Very nice. The Lord is pleased. We want to come to that time in our service of sharing joys and concerns. Of course, you have your list of prayer concerns. I'm not sure how many of you keep this handy throughout the week, but I just encourage you to keep that list of prayer concerns and add any that you would hear during the service and lift those up in the time of prayer you have with the Lord during the week. But we do rejoice. We have Jerry here this morning with us. He came through his procedure very well, so we're excited to have Jerry with us. And we did get news the first service that Gerhard Reinhardt is in the hospital again and has pneumonia, and he has a fluid in his lungs as well. So we want to keep Gerhard in our prayers. And you heard with Curtis being in prison, to keep Burrow and Ralph and Curtis all in your prayers as well. So are there any other prayer requests or any joys to share with us this morning?
I'd like you to remember Sandy Coots. It's Ken's cousin's wife. She was just recently diagnosed with multiple myeloma and is taking treatment, but really could use our prayer. Thank you.
Thanks.
Everyone, I just wanted to say this is my last Sunday before leaving for Florida on Friday. I'm driving down with my sister. Bob is already headed down in the sailboat, and I'll be posting from time to time. He really picked a good week to go because it's been blustery and raining, but we pray God's good grace for safety. Thank you.
Good to see you. Welcome.
My sister Dolores has been on the prayer list for the last 2 weeks anyway, and I just wanted to give a little update. It's a long, long story, but they're dealing with a young mother right now who was told she has 2 to 3 months to live, and she's already lost her arm. She hasn't been able to take care of her children now for about 8 weeks. And my niece, who is 44 and has Asperger's, has taken on the 2-year-old, will be raising her. And my sister, who is 66, has taken on the 10-year-old and will be raising him. So the whole family needs your prayers. My niece's husband his father had back surgery. He's now in rehab. He's also had to put his grandmother in a nursing home. So it's just been one thing after the other for the whole family. But they are dealing with a young mother who's in the last stages of her life.
Please continue to remember my brother Danny in prayer. He has liver cancer and is in need of a transplant.
Any others this morning? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that you are the creator and you are the sustainer of life. Lord, we particularly this morning think of the young mother who's losing her battle and her life is at the verge of death. We know that there's rejoicing if she believes in you, and we pray that indeed she does. And we know that that's the hope that we have through this circumstance. But Lord, we also recognize you as the healer. We recognize you as the master physician. And we know that you can touch this young mother and you can bring complete healing to her body. And Lord, we're praying for a miracle. We're praying that you would just bring new life to her. But Lord, we want to be within your will and pray that your will would be done in her life. We pray for those family members and that have taken the children into their homes and are caring for them, and pray you would give them wisdom as they rear these children, as they bring them up in the faith. Help them to know that they are loved and that their mother loved them dearly. And we do just pray, Lord, that you would be with them during this very difficult time. We want to thank you for bringing Carol with us this morning. We know Bob's already on that trip with his sailboat, and the wind and the weather that we've been experiencing isn't the most perfect weather, but we know that your hand of protection is upon him during this time. And as Carol joins him, we also pray that you would be with both of them as they're together and just journey into retirement and the excitement that can bring. But we do pray for just levels of stress to be at a very minimum as they encounter different weather patterns. And just pray your hand of protection over and over upon that sailboat. And we think of Danny, who's in need of a liver transplant, and we know that there's donors out there, not always a perfect match, but Lord, we're just praying that you would just guide the doctors, guide those that are willing to donate, or where livers may come from, Lord, we pray that there would be a match. And we just thank you in advance, Lord, for the way you're going to move in Danny's life and just allow that liver transplant to take place. And we think of the other prayer concerns with Gerhard in the hospital and lift him up in a very special way and pray your blessings of healing upon him. And we pray, Lord, that you would meet us here in our time of need. And you know each of our situations. You know the struggles that we're enduring. You know our finances. You know our health. And we just thank you for being a God that is very present in our lives. And we think of Chris Tobias. We think of the Eblings. And we think of Curtis. And we think of Susie and Jean Meyer's sister Dolores and Lisa and Thelma and Jerry and Melissa and Jennifer and Trudy. Lord, you know the concerns that they have, the failing health that they're enduring, the recovery processes they're going through. And Father, we just pray that you would just allow those times to go smoothly and without pain and with as much comfort, Lord, as you can deem possible, Lord. We just pray that upon them. And we just thank you for gathering us here to be able to worship you, to be able to hear your word, Lord, and just pray that you would stir us, you would move our hearts to be able to make a difference in this community and in this world, that people would know us by our love and our compassion and our tender mercies. Lord, just hear our prayers as we lift up those items on our heart and lift up our prayers of confession as well during these next few moments of silence. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Thank you for the forgiveness that's offered through the cross, through Jesus Christ. We pray now that your light would shine through us, that your love would shine through us, and that we would indeed be replicas of divinity. Thank you, Lord, for who you have called us to be in this world that is desperately in need of hope. Be with those in Nigeria and continue, Lord, to go in front of them and prepare places for them as they run, as they hide for their lives, Lord. We can't imagine what that's like, but Lord, we know that your protection is upon them. Keep them safe, be with the families, Lord, and stop the violence in Jesus' name, Lord. And we pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.
I invite you to turn to your hymnals to 573, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and we will use the familiar tune that's found on 574.
Thank you. Being Stewardship Sunday, they asked me to update everybody on the mortgage situation. Several years ago, we started working on the problem of the lack of drainage around the foundation. Some other improvements, such as the improvements to the main entrance with heated steps and the carport on the lower level. Thanks to the Women's Fellowship for paying all the kitchen repairs and appliances. All were welcome improvements along with the needed drainage. This resulted in a 20-year, $500,000 mortgage at the rate of 4.25%, locked in for 5 years on September 22, 2012. 25 months later, we have reduced the mortgage by $234,685, leaving a balance of $265,315. The five-year playoff goal needs to be achieved by September 22, 2017 to avoid a mortgage renewal with the bank. That would probably result in higher interest rate. We have 35 monthly payments to reach our goal of having a mortgage paid in 5 years. At the current interest rate of 4.25%, it would take monthly payments of $8,073 per month to accomplish that goal. This year, through September 30th, the building fund giving averaged $4,958 a month. If we continue to fund the building fund at the same rate of $4,958, we would leave a balance of $115,866 at the end of the 5 years. Is this our goal? Are we willing to give a little bit more to get this loan paid in full? The difference between $8,073 that we need monthly and the $4,958 that we are currently giving is $3,115 a month. There are about 90 families attending church every month. That would come to about $35 more per attending family per month. We do not expect that every family can meet that goal. But what would happen if we could average that as a congregation, average that goal as a congregation? What a joy that would be. A hearty thanks to all who have made contributions to the building fund to help lower it to its current level, and thanks for any future contributions to achieve our five-year goal. Let us pray. Dear God, thanks for the generosity of this congregation, supporting the financial needs of the church and the outreach program, which will let us continue growing a church with a lot of satisfaction. Thanks for allowing every family to decide what the best giving level is for them. We know that you love a cheerful giver. We pray that everyone is happy with their giving so that they may continue to support your church and those in need around the world. In thy name we pray, amen. Always by my side.
should serve a faithful God, and I am just so encouraged by the amount of the mortgage that you have paid down already. So I just encourage us, give ourselves a round of applause, and let's celebrate what we've been able to accomplish in just those 2 years and what the Lord's going to do as we go forward. I'd invite any children this morning to come forward. My prop has kind of been taken by my five-year-old, so there was a little tiny bear we were going to use for our demonstration, but if there's any children, there comes one. Here comes Graham. Good morning, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How are you this morning? You guys doing okay? It's appropriate that you're kind of shying away like that this morning, because today's topic is on fear. And the song we just heard about is Whom Shall I Fear? And I think maybe there's a little bit of fear, a little hesitation, which is okay. I'm a pretty scary looking guy. I can understand that. So this morning we're going to talk about things that make us fearful, or things that make us afraid. Can you think of anything in your life that maybe you are afraid of?
I'm afraid of ghosts.
Ghosts? Okay. Is anything else you guys afraid of? I don't like snakes. Those slithery things with those weird tongues coming out of their mouth. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of snakes.
I'm scared of snakes.
You're afraid of snakes too? Oh, good. Because first service, none of the kids were afraid of snakes. And I was like, I'm the only fearful one sitting up here. They had no fears. What about the dark? Do you guys like the dark?
No.
No, the dark isn't very fun to be a part of either. So there's lots of different fears that we have in our lives. But you just heard from that song that even amidst our fears, even amidst all the things that we're afraid of, we know that someone is by our side. Who is that? Did you hear it in the song? Who's by our side?
God,
the Lord. Yeah, the Lord is by our side. So when we're afraid and we face things that we're afraid of, we can always be rest assured. We can always have comfort and peace that God is by our side. He goes ahead of us, he goes behind us, and he's always with us. So let's turn to him this morning and thank him for being with us and taking care of us, even when we are afraid and have fear. Lord, just thank you so much for these precious children. We just pray your abundant blessings over their lives, over their families' lives, and just pray that they would know that you are near them, you are with them every single step of their way. So just thank you for protecting them. Thank you for allowing our fears to be overcome by the power that we have through you, Lord Jesus. So give these children a sense of peace and let them know that you are with them. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, you know, unfortunately, that video didn't begin to scrape the surface of some of the most common fears that we have. Fear has a way of gripping us. It holds us tight. It pins us down. It keeps us from moving forward. As if we're in drying cement, as if we're in quicksand. We get stuck in areas such as failure, rejection, darkness, spiders, disease, death, being alone, the future, the highest of heights, darkness. And for this Stewardship Sunday, the fear of financial loss. It seems no matter how much money we have, it doesn't quite seem to be enough. We worry about our funds carrying us through retirement. But as we focus on our fears, somehow we lose our focus on God. Our prison of fear becomes unbelief. It's like David Jeremiah wrote in his book, "What are you afraid of?" God is the eternal now. Our fears are future focused. But what is the future to God? To him, the future is now. We live inside time, while God, who made it, lives outside it. We have limited knowledge of the future, while God knows all about it. This, friends, is why God is the answer to our fears. We've talked about showing our faith in action, but now we must know how loving, how powerful, how perfect a plan and purpose he has for our lives. There's no reason to fear anything, for God is in control of everything. Those without the gift of Christ find this hard to believe, that there's nothing to fear. But even so, we still have fear as God's children. And the change begins as we accept this fact and place our burdens on the shoulders of Christ. More than 300 times, the Bible tells us not to fear. Fear not, being the most common command. We're not alone in fear. Bible heroes who we think are fearless are said to have been afraid. People like David, Paul, Timothy, to name just a few. So what happens as we increase our knowledge of God, as we change our focus from the present to the eternal God, and replace what we know about the future with what we know about him, we start to grow in our understanding and in our faith. We leave behind more and more fears. Neil Anderson writes, "It erodes our faith. Fear is a thief. It plunders our hope. It steals our freedom. And it takes away our joy of living the abundant life of Christ." What we know is that Jesus came to set the captives free. That includes those held captive by fear. When I encounter that snake all coiled up and its tongue hissing, I don't typically think in this process. As a matter of fact, I'm more inclined to react and grab the shovel or grab the gun and make sure the little rascal doesn't survive. It just reminds me too much of that scene in the Garden of Eden. But if truth is the key to freedom, and I know God is good, God is love, and God has a future filled with hope, that snake is but a false expectation appearing real. In my mind, I see it striking and biting my leg. But more often than not, it's more afraid of me than I am of it. But when we turn to our finances, we face an unstable world. Yet true stability is found by trusting God. The author of Hebrews in chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 says it like this: "Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, 'I will never fail you. I will never abandon you.' So we can say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?'" Even if material loss occurs, God promises to meet our needs. There's comfort in these verses, knowing God will never fail us or abandon us. We only need to turn to Scripture for actuality of that promise. Psalm 23 tells us, "The Lord is our shepherd, so we shall not lack." Verse 4 says and continues, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." There's just something about that phrase, "close beside me." Often when I'm walking in unknown territory, for example, when I get lost in the woods, I can picture Jesus or the angels surrounding me, and I know that there is peace and there's comfort and rescue. Jesus even points to the birds and the flowers, and he reminds us that if God feeds and clothes them, won't he do the same for his very own children? It's thought-provoking. It causes us to think. But until we face it, and many of us here this morning have, it's difficult to trust things will work out. It's not that we don't believe, I truly feel we do, but experience has a way of making believers out of us. Paul says the same in Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Then in 2 Corinthians 9:8, the Lord promises, he is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. I have a confession to make this morning. I wasn't always the type of giver to put 10% into the offering plate. Many Sundays it would be 4 or 5%, but as we settled here at Little Swatara, the Lord nudged our hearts, and as a family we prayed, and we knew that we needed to give 10%. And let me tell you this from experience, our family has never had our needs more met. It does. It requires faith. It takes that step. But digging deep to meet the growing needs of our church, we can be assured he will meet what we truly need. Psalm 37:3 tells us to trust in the Lord and do good. You see, our hope is in Christ. It's not something that goes up and down like the stock market. Jesus is someone who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that promise of eternity will never perish. The promise is signed and sealed with the blood of Christ. It's confirmed by the resurrection. While we have spent many weeks saying talk is cheap, show me. This is where the rubber meets the road, where the chicken lays the egg. We trust first in God's promises. We lean on the wisdom of God and what his word proclaims and act upon it out of obedience. It's quite simple and at the same time extremely overpowering. 1 Timothy 6, 6-8 clarifies this. It says, yet true religion with contentment is great wealth. After all, we didn't bring anything with us when we came into the world, and we certainly cannot carry anything with us when we die. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. It's always amazing to me the number of people who want to be buried with this or that. It's no use in their coffin. Someone from the first service mentioned that you notice a hearse doesn't have luggage racks on it. While I get the sentimental value, there's the living that can enjoy it just a little while longer. And more often than not, through my experience, the undertaker doesn't allow it. But money is such an empty god that can never fill the void in our souls with peace. Right thinking here means trusting in an unchangeable God instead of putting our faith in wealth. To show our faith means doing good, and this builds quite the heavenly nest egg of riches waiting for us. There is truth to the phrase, we can't take it with us. However, we can send it on. It's not about this feeling that we get, but it's really, really awesome to see someone do something and say, pay it forward. Have you ever heard that phrase before? Someone gave something to someone and they just said, pay it forward. I don't find it in the scriptural context of a verse, but the idea of paying it forward is such an act of kindness. It's such a wonderful blessing to see the smile on that person's face when they're able to receive something that otherwise they may not have ever received. And so the idea of paying it forward is ministries at Little Swatara, as you set aside your offerings, they're designed to care for our needs. They're designed to care for the needs of our community and around the world. That mortgage that continues to decline by your generosity carries us onward to preach the gospel. Consider how we might support that effort even more. How mighty of an act of God it would be if we could say in 5 years that debt is at zero, and being able to say, let's pay it even further forward. Incredible things are going on here in this place, but it does take budgeting and it does take planning to make it happen. So you see, in actuality, when we do things that honor God, we're investing in eternity. And here's what happens as we're faithful. Psalm 37:40 says, the Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them, and they find shelter in him. To trust in him is to respond in faith to his faithfulness. That word respond implies action. We know from experience that God rewards faith with blessings. Now, we don't expect them. They just simply overflow in our lives. There's such a complete joy knowing out of our abundance we're able to bless others. The point is clear. The way to get ahead in God's kingdom is not to chase wealth and power. Rather, it's the humble, the gentle person who will be blessed. The one who resists the temptation to financially look good and focus on God and his desires will be rewarded through their trust when the timing is just right. Now hear me, I'm not saying money is a bad thing, but it's the love of it that gets us into trouble. Even when we face our fears, they don't have to define us. Psalm 34 says, "Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desire." I absolutely love that word delight. Consider your favorite ice cream flavor. Consider your favorite football team winning. Consider your family surrounding you and the joy of the children's laughter. For me, it's found as well in alone time with my wife. No one other than God seems to get me better than she does. But these delights are nothing in comparison to the delight found in the Lord. It doesn't matter what's going on in our worlds. We can go to him and we can trust him no matter what. Even more amazing in this truth is that he finds delight in us. He believes in us. He knows that we can do this. I'll admit I can't always fathom why, but it's true. And it's the same with you and I. We should delight in him, not out of obligation, but because there's no greater joy in life. The promise of this is that he will give us our heart's desires. Now we have to be careful here. This is not to say that he will give us what we want. But if we place our trust in God, no matter what, his joy becomes our strength. Our fears no longer are misery. They no longer overtake us. As delight in the Lord overflows, we fear not, for our hope endures forever. We have everything we need in God. That doesn't leave out anything. We do well to know that faith in God doesn't prevent us from financial failure or any other fears. We live in a fallen world. There will be no such thing as complete financial security or total freedom from our fears. But there will be ultimate security in the grace of God. Faith assures us he holds our lives in his loving hands, which means no fear, no loss can truly harm us. As Lord of all, he's too big to fail. Often we think that we can fit God into this nice, neatly packaged box. But God is beyond that. He is so much bigger than any fear, any concern that we have. I like what Charles Spurgeon wrote. He said, "There is more of the love of God in our defeats than in the successes of the wicked." Rest assured, friends, God is completely in control. His timing is never early, and it's never late. Those who wait on the Lord will inherit the earth. We can't live a faith that says, if everything goes how I want, I'll determine that God is good. But a faith that says, though I may face many fears and evil overcomes, I will trust in God. That's the kind of life. That's the kind of life I desire for each of us. To trust that all things work together for good to those who love God. We indeed have something to cling to. We indeed have something that we can focus on. Our hope in Christ is not in vain. So this question this morning is, how much do we really trust him? Are we willing to believe God can take a world bent on war and terrorism and wiping people off the earth and fashion something beautiful out of it? Waiting isn't always a bad thing. Do you remember as a child just waiting for Christmas Day? There's that thrill and anticipation. And the longer we wait for the Lord's return, the greater the thrill. We cry out in our pain and losses, but our hope remains that amidst our fears, the ultimate gift that once received can never be lost. It's worth waiting for. So what are we afraid of? Is it life itself? You see, God didn't create the life we live in this fallen world. He created a world that was perfect and free from anything fearful. And that, my friends, is the world to which one day we shall return. God's love is demonstrated by the fact that even through our rebellion, even though we deserve death, He never wants us to die. You see, Christ came and died for us so we could have hope and truly live again. If our lives are full of fear, we're encouraged to replace our fear with a new life through Christ our Lord. No matter what happens here on this earth, we can live with the promise that we are safely in the hands of God. Whom to know is to trust, and to trust is to obey. That's a wonderful hope that we have. Psalm 37, David tells us like this, that in his long life, he has never seen God fail to meet needs. Verse 25 says, "Once I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the godly forsaken, nor seen their children begging for bread." That's great news for us this morning. That's an incredible hope that we have. I'd encourage you as we close this morning with several verses that offer us comfort and peace, that you would find one of these, or maybe there's one that you already have memorized, to go through this life knowing that God is your hope, that He is your peace, He is your comfort amidst the fears. Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble?" Psalm 118:6, "The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." Psalm 115:11, "All who fear the Lord, trust the Lord. He is your helper and your shield." 112:1, "Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands." And Deuteronomy 31:6, "So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." And my personal favorite, Romans 8:15. "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father." Another translation I really enjoy there for Abba, Father is Daddy. It's like calling our Heavenly Father Daddy. He's near. He's with us. He is our hope, so we shall not fear. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You go before us, that You are behind us, that You are all around us, and You are giving us this incredible hope that this life is temporary. Father, we cling to Your Son, Jesus Christ, who we know when we trust, when we obey, and we live a life out of obedience, that one day we will spend eternity with You. Father, how we look forward to that day where there will be no more fear. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more crying, no more pain. Lord, we turn to You in this very hour and ask that You would give us the comfort we need to be able to move forward, to not be held back by our fears, but trusting You alone for the hope that resides in Your Son, Jesus Christ, whom we give all glory. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen.
Please rise to your feet and join in singing hymn number 544, "When We Walk with the Lord."
Now may the Lord Jesus bless your soul and strengthen your faith. Let this hour of worship grow within you and bear fruit, which will remain for life eternal. Go in peace.